Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Please listen for God's word to you today. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. When I was a kid, I was a Girl Scout. And although even back then it was not socially cool to be a Girl Scout, I loved scouting. I loved doing crafts. I loved doing service projects. I loved doing badges and learning new skills. I loved going on field trips. I loved hiking. I loved camping. And I especially loved canoeing. There was one thing, however, that I did not love. I did not love selling Christmas or Girl Scout cookies. Indeed, when it came time to sell cookies, I would call my two grandmothers, who would each dutifully buy a box. I would call my aunts and uncles, who would each dutifully buy a box. And I would talk to my mother, who would buy several boxes so that I could sell the minimum number of boxes required by my Girl Scout troop. This aversion to selling followed me into my youth, so that as I began contemplating potential careers, the one thing of which I was absolutely certain was I did not want to go into sales. Consequently, when I entered seminary and began to train for ministry, the one part of ministry that I dreaded the most was stewardship. In fact, I must confess that deep down in my soul, I never, ever wanted to have to run a stewardship campaign or preach a stewardship sermon. Indeed, the mere thought of it still makes me sweat. And yet, here I stand today. As I contemplated this moment, sweating at the thought of standing here talking about stewardship, I came to the realization that I've been preaching on this very topic already since Christmas. Remember with me when Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee and called Peter and Andrew, James and John to follow in his footsteps, to walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, eat with Jesus, listen to Jesus, watch Jesus and imitate Jesus in all things. They dropped their nets and journeyed with Jesus, following in his footsteps, becoming his disciples, his Talmudim. And his disciples learned to live like Jesus. Remember also with me when Jesus made his journey to Jerusalem and the cross, suffering betrayal, abandonment, denial, injustice, ridicule, torture, humiliation, forsakenness, and finally death on a cross. Remember with me as well, when confronted by his extraordinary suffering as Jesus' journey on this earth came to an end, his followers, his disciples, his Talmudim, who had walked with him, talked with him, eaten with him, listened to him, watched him and learned to imitate him, fled in fear, gave up hope, and hid in a locked room. Remember with me finally, when having witnessed his resurrection, his followers, his disciples, his Talmudim, who had walked with him, talked with him, eaten with him, listened to him, watched him, and learned to imitate him in all things, became Christ's body here on earth, became Christ's church. His followers became leaders. His students became teachers. His disciples became stewards, caretakers of his church. It would seem the disciples learned to follow in the footsteps of Jesus in order to become bestowers of God's grace, stand-ins for God's Son, stewards of the body of Christ in the physical absence of our Lord Jesus. Now, as stewards of Christ's church, as leaders and teachers of a new generation of followers, the disciples recorded many of Jesus' teachings and passed them down for the guidance of those who would journey with Jesus after them. Of all these teachings which they recorded, one in particular for me has stood out as most perplexing. It is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. When I contemplate this parable from chapter 20 in the Gospel of Matthew, I can't help but think that the complaint of the first laborers, those who bore the burden of the work, those who worked the entire day, 12 hours in the scorching heat, I can't help but think that they had a reasonable complaint. Indeed, in our age of demanding equal pay for equal work, if some who worked a 12-hour day were paid the same as some others who worked the same job for only 1 hour, a lawsuit would be waged against the business owner. In our everyday world, the first laborers are simply demanding justice. But here's the thing, and it's a pretty big thing. Jesus is not speaking about our world and our age. Indeed, Jesus is not even speaking about the church per se. Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of heaven. And when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, if the laborers demand justice, if we demand justice from God, we fall upon a devastating realization. When it comes to justice in God's kingdom, we all fall short. Indeed, in the context of God's infinite goodness, judgment is upon us. If we demand justice from God, if we demand payment for our works, there is but one possible response. We would be cut off from the kingdom of heaven, and we would forever be alienated from our Creator. In fact, just before the parable in Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." The disciples in astonishment ask, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus responds to them saying, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." We cannot earn a place in the kingdom of heaven. However, God can nevertheless give us his kingdom. Indeed, God goes beyond justice and through the loving sacrifice of his beloved Son Jesus gifts us all with eternal love even though we do not merit it. This is the divine generosity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If then God's generosity gifts us with God's eternal love, even though we do not deserve it, why did Jesus go muck up the works with this parable about the workers and wages, right after asserting that God's infinite capacity for generosity? I believe it is because Jesus calls us not only to salvation, but also to service. Service that is not a prerequisite for salvation, but rather is a response to salvation. Service that is both a privilege and a joy. That is what the laborers who labored all day missed. They were so focused on the wage that they did not even realize what a privilege it was to be working. Their fellow laborers were not sluggards. They were not loafers. They were not lazy. The marketplace was where free laborers went to find work, much like our old employment agencies. The laborers who were hired on the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and even the laborers who were hired on the 11th hour wanted to work. Indeed, those sent out into the vineyard at the 11th hour weren't even promised any wage at all. And yet, they went out into the vineyard to labor. It is a privilege to be invited to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, because therein we are invited to become bestowers of God's grace, stand-ins for God's Son, stewards of the body of Christ in Christ's physical absence. When we accept this invitation, when we choose to embrace the privilege of service, we discover that when we serve as bestowers of God's grace, we get to share in the joy experienced by those who are receiving God's love through us. You all know this to be true, for you as a church family have already experienced this. Most recently, in the joy of the parents and grandparents of children newly baptized here in our sanctuary, Tristan Bishop, grandson of Joe and Hannah Bishop, Oliver DeBona, son of Mike and Elena, and grandson of Janine and Vince Smoker, baptized along with his mother, Elena. Sophie Weissman, daughter of Mike and Stephanie Weissman, Ronan Connolly, son of Miles and Fiona Connolly, and grandson of Kevin and Kristen Connolly. A joy for their families, but also a joy for us. You've experienced this in the joy of the children singing for their mothers on Mother's Day last Sunday. A joy for them, a joy for their mothers, but also a joy for us. You've experienced this in the joy of our homebound members finally able to receive home communion after 2 years of isolation. A joy for them, and a joy for the deacons who went out to serve them. We experienced this in the joy of eighth grade boys and one girl named Grace, who shared their newfound love of jazz music in our sanctuary on Tuesday evening right here, playing saxophones, trumpets, guitars, and drums with great gusto and astonishing finesse for those so young. A joy for them, and a joy for the proud parents, but also a joy for us. When we witness to God's generosity and love in this world in such a concrete ways that it's happening through us, we get the privilege of experiencing the joy that God's love creates. This is what it is to be not only disciples and and followers, but stewards of God's church. Life has gotten rather challenging over the past few years. And it has become increasingly challenging to be the church. Challenging to be this church in the face of the challenges our world faces. But in the face of those challenges, the question for us is, will we be like the disciples when they were confronted by the suffering and death of Jesus, fleeing in fear, giving up hope, hiding in a locked room or a locked church? Or will we be like the disciples when, having witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, went out into the world and continued to follow Jesus into the future together? The choice is ours. On this Stewardship Sunday, I invite each of you to rededicate yourselves courageously, creatively, compassionately, to continue following in the footsteps of Jesus as stewards of this church. Because when we embrace the privilege of service, we will find joy in our journey.